Please turn with me now in your Bible to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verses 7 to 15. We've been working our way together through the book of Galatians. This morning, we want to see together how you have been set free to love. Again, our text this morning is from the book of Galatians chapter 5. Beginning with verse 7, let's hear God's word. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in the Lord that you will take no other view than mine, and the one who's troubling you will bear the penalty, whoever he is. But if I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. The whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. Thus far, the reading of God's word, let's begin in prayer together. Father in heaven, always good, so excellent and wise, you know just who we are. You know just what we need to hear. And we pray, Lord, now for that ability to hear your word, to hear your truth, apply it to our hearts. We pray for this, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about learning and growing and moving forward in the Christian life. Okay, maybe that means getting a hold of out-of-control spending. Maybe that means having a better attitude toward that person at work. Maybe it means being more deliberate in spending time with your family. Maybe it means being more intentional about your walk with Jesus. Whatever the specifics, we've been talking about learning and growing and moving forward in the Christian life. And there's at least a couple of reasons for that. Okay? First of all, it's a new year. And so it's naturally just a natural time to stop and take an assessment. And make a new start. You know, the new year is just a natural time to kind of look at yourself and examine yourself in the mirror and make a new beginning. You know, it's time to look at yourself and say, you know what? There are some bad habits that I have pussyfooted around with for too long, and it's time to grow up. It's time to lay these bad habits to bed. It's time to put them to death. It's time to move on. It's time for a new me. Okay, a new year is a time for a new you, a new attitude, a new beginning. Behold, the old is gone and the new has come. Forgetting what lies behind, you press on to what lies ahead. The new year itself is reason enough to say, you know what? Time for a new attitude, a new beginning, moving forward, becoming a better person and Christian. But in addition to that, that's what the book of Galatians is all about. The gospel, okay, Christianity, is a transformation machine. Okay, the gospel is all about change. If you've come to that point where you're trusting in Jesus Christ, if you come to that place where you are depending on Jesus as the basis for your relationship with God, you have already experienced extraordinary supernatural change. If you've come to that point where you understand that Jesus is the basis of your relationship with God, you have already experienced extraordinary supernatural change. Now, it may have happened, you know, if you grew up in a Christian family, it may have happened when you're younger and you're not even really aware of all the significance, but it has happened. If your faith is in Jesus Christ as the basis of your relationship with God, you have already experienced extraordinary supernatural transformation. And the question is, how do you keep that going? How do you keep that rolling? How do you keep the transformation machine going? How do you keep growing? How do you keep learning? How do you keep moving forward? What I want you to see this morning is that one of the best ways to keep growing is to identify the problem areas in your life. What are those areas where you're not seeing progress? What are those areas where you feel like you're kind of stuck? What are those areas where you're not seeing the kind of progress that you think God wants to see in your life? What is holding you back? Look with me at our text this morning. Beginning with verse 7, Paul says, "You were running well." And the picture there is of a Christian like an athlete. And he's running. He's moving forward. He's making progress. Not only running, but he's running well. When I was a kid, we would say, you're booking. It means you're going fast. You're really booking. You're running fast. The picture here is of the athlete who's really running fast. He's booking. And the idea is, if your faith is in Jesus, if you are depending on Jesus as the basis of your relationship with God, then at least at some point in your life, you were going the right way. You were making progress. You were running well. You were booking. Okay, at least at some point, you were going the right way and you were making progress. But Paul says, you were running well. As if something's happened. You've slowed down. You've tapered off. Maybe you feel like you're going backwards. For some reason, you're not making the same kind of progress you once were making. You're not seeing the same kind of growth. You're not seeing the same kind of change. What's holding you back? Identify those problem areas in your life. What are those areas that you are least proud of? What are the areas of your life that you're most ashamed of, the things about you that you wouldn't want other people to see? It's extremely important. It's a huge step just to be able to put your finger on those areas in your life where you need to change. Just to be able to put your finger on, to label it and to name it and to own it. Just an example. Suppose you have an anger problem. To be able to name that, to be able to say, you know what? I got an anger problem. That alone is a huge step. Because normally when we're angry at other people. You're pointing the finger at him. You're pointing the finger at her. You're mad about things at work. You're frustrated with life. Normally when we're angry, it's anger at everybody else. To be able to stop and point the finger at yourself. To be able to say, you know what? Maybe the problem is me. Maybe it isn't just her. Maybe it's not just him. Maybe it's me. Maybe I've got an anger problem. To be able to put your finger on it and to name it and label it and to take ownership of it, that is a huge step. To go from being angry to realizing you've got an anger problem, that is a huge step. So I want to encourage you this morning to identify the problem areas in your life and specifically to ask Jesus to help you recognize those areas in your life where you need to grow. Now, you know what it's like. You go to the doctor. The doctor asks you how you're doing, and you say, I'm fine. Okay? You know, you barely get in the door, but when he asks you how you're doing, oh, I'm fine. Okay. And we do that with God. I'm fine. I'm good. I'm good. If you think you're good this morning, well, that is your problem. Okay? If you don't think you have anything you need to work on, there's your problem you need to work on. Because we all have things we need to work on. But if you really want to grow, I mean, sometimes we don't want to change. Sometimes change is scary. Sometimes change is threatening. It's unknown. You know, what if I try to and I fail again and I fall back in the old habits? Sometimes it's easier and it's more comfortable just to sit in the mud. You know, my old problems are they're bad, but they're familiar and they're comfortable, and sometimes I'd rather not change. If that's where you are this morning, that's your problem right there. But if you want to become the person God wants you to be, if you're willing, by the grace of God, to grow and change, you ask Jesus. You ask Jesus to open up your eyes. You ask Jesus to help you see those areas where you need to grow, and he'll answer that prayer. He might use a particular sermon or a particular passage of scripture. He might use something you hear on the radio or something going on in your life or some other person. But you, if you ask Jesus to show you where you need to grow, and if you mean business, you're not just messing around, but you really mean it, he'll answer that prayer and he will put his finger on areas in your life where you need to grow and change. So I would challenge you this morning to ask Jesus to help you recognize those areas in your life where you need to grow, and specifically identify those who might be having a negative influence on your growth. Paul says, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Who you've been talking to? Who have you been listening to? Who has gotten in your ear? Who is it who's gotten in your head who's slowing you down? You know, is it the cool kids at school? I mean, who is it that's causing a negative influence on you? Maybe it's something you've been reading. Maybe it's some garbage on the internet that you've kind of fallen into. Maybe it's something you're telling yourself in your own head. Sometimes we get ideas. We develop convictions about ourselves, about life, about other people that aren't true. Especially when we're young or when difficult things happen, sometimes we develop convictions and opinions in our heads that simply aren't true. And so it may be that you are telling yourself things that just aren't true. You know, it's like in Star Wars, okay, whenever Darth Vader comes on the scene, they always play that music. Dun, 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 dun. You know, he has his own soundtrack, okay? We all have that. We all have our own soundtrack that we do in our head. You know, I'm so unlucky. Nothing ever goes right with me. Everybody has your own little personal things that you go over within your mind, and much of it isn't true. Or it's not the whole truth, and it's not helpful to you. And what you've got to do is you've got to identify those unhelpful thoughts. Ask Jesus to help you identify unhealthy and unbiblical ways of thinking. Maybe it's the way you feel about yourself, or the way you feel about the way you look, or you feel like you can't do anything right, whatever. You got to ask Jesus, okay? You got to talk to Jesus, and you got to listen to his word, and you ask him, help me identify those areas of unhealthy and unbiblical ways of thinking. Try to identify who it is you're trying to please. Paul says, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. Now, remember, at this point, Paul seems to be talking primarily to Gentile Christians. Okay, so they've come from a pagan background of all sorts of instability and immorality and debauchery. That was just part of the pagan world. They've come to know Jesus. With all their garbage and all their baggage, they have discovered that they can have a new relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So here are these people with all kind of pagan lifestyle, and they've come to have peace with God through Jesus Christ. But in the process, they've met Jewish Christians who are very different. They live very nice, orderly, buttoned-down lives. Their kids are well-behaved. It's nothing like their background. And so here are these Gentile Christians, and they want to grow, and they want to get better, and they think, well, maybe that's what I need to do. Maybe I need to become Jewish. Maybe I need to become circumcised. And Paul says, in effect, who put that idea in your head? Where'd you get that idea? He says, this persuasion is not from him who calls you. That's not Jesus, okay? That's not Jesus in your head. Who are you trying to please in life? I'm not big on rehashing your childhood and blaming your parents for all your problems, but it is true sometimes that if you grew up with very critical parents, or if one of your parents was very distant, or if they withheld affection, sometimes you might still be trying to please mom and dad, even though you're an adult and they're dead and gone. I mean, we do that sometimes. We live in a certain way trying to prove I'm good enough. Maybe you were picked on when you were little, and years later you're still trying to prove I'm not that little wimp that got picked on. You know, we get the mind is strange. Yeah. Are you trying to please the cool kids at school? Are you trying to live up to something you've seen in a magazine? Or are you trying to please Jesus? Identify who it is you're trying to please, who you're trying to live for. Ask Jesus to help you identify those thoughts in your head that aren't from Jesus. These Gentile Christians meant well. They wanted to grow, but this idea that maybe I need to become Jewish, that wasn't Jesus talking. Okay? And we need to go to the Lord in prayer, listen to his word, and ask him to help him, ask him to help us identify those ideas that are in our head that aren't from Jesus, because wrong thinking in your head is likely to spread. Paul says, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Well, leaven is like yeast. Put a little bit of yeast in a big lump of dough, and you give it enough time, and it's going to spread. And Paul's saying, bad thinking is like that. We tend to compartmentalize our thinking. But the truth is, if you're bitter about something over here, there's a very good chance that it kind of begins to poison your other relationships. That has nothing to do with it. That was a long time ago. But if you haven't dealt with that, that bitterness can kind of come out, and people just kind of pick up that you got an edge to you. Or maybe something has happened to you, and you are just afraid it's going to happen again. And that fear kind of colors all of your relationships. When you get wrong thinking in your head, oh, nothing ever goes right with me, or whatever it is, that wrong thinking in your mind, it tends to spread and color all the different parts of your life. Okay. So you want to identify those areas where you aren't thinking right and replace them with biblical thoughts. This is what Paul says. I have confidence in the Lord, you'll take no other view than mine. Well, here are these Gentile Christians, and well, they were wrong. They were thinking, you know what, I need to get circumcised and start following Jewish tradition. But Paul says, no. Now that I've corrected you, now that I've showed you, I'm reminding you that either your relationship with God is going to be based on Jesus, or it's going to be based on you getting circumcised, but it can't be based on both. Paul says, now that I've reminded you, I'm confident, okay, that you're going to now take my viewpoint. Okay? You're going to recognize that old view, what you were thinking, was wrong, and you're going to replace it with more biblical thinking. That's the way you grow. You know, Paul would tell the Romans, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And the idea is that you recognize things that you've been thinking, those things that you tend to tell yourself over and over again. Recognize where those things are not true. Oh, nothing goes right with me. Wait a minute. That's not true. God loves me. And he works all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. The way you grow and change, in part, is by identifying unbiblical thoughts and replacing them with biblical truth. Wait a minute, that's not true. I need to think more biblically. That's the way you grow. That's the way you change. Okay, you're transformed by the renewal of your mind. And you can have confidence in the Spirit of God who dwells in you to make you more like Jesus. This is what Paul says. I have confidence in the Lord that you'll take no other view than mine. These were people who were set on getting circumcised and becoming Jewish. And yet Paul says, now that I've pointed out the error of your ways, I am confident in the Lord that you're going to take my view. I'm confident that God, who is working in you, will show you this and convict you and help you to change. See, you can be confident. When God shows you a thing about yourself that isn't very pretty, you don't have to despair. Sometimes we avoid anything that might make us feel bad because we don't want to despair. You can be honest and you can be open. You can be open to criticism and critique. You can be open to the Lord. Because when God does show you where you're wrong, you don't have to despair. Instead, you can have confidence that the Spirit of God who is working in you is going to use that to grow you and change you. If Jesus is the basis of your relationship with God, that means God has already begun an extraordinary, supernatural change within you. If you've come to trust in Jesus as the basis of your relationship with God, then God himself is already living in you. And you can trust that the Spirit of God living in you is going to more and more open up your eyes. Okay? Like a flashlight. He's going to shine his light on the dark places of your mind and of your heart. You can trust that God is at work in you, and he's going to convict you, and he's going to change you, and he's going to enable you more and more to replace wrong thinking with right thinking and wrong behavior with right behavior. So you can be confident that even though there's some garbage in there, by the grace of God, you're going to grow. You're going to make progress, and you're going to change. You know, self-confidence can be dangerous, okay? Self-confidence can sometimes keep us from recognizing where we're wrong. And sometimes self-confidence is just a fancy word for pride, but confidence in the Lord. You can always be 100% confident in God that he's going to work in you, and he's going to grow you, and he's going to change you. We can have confidence in the Spirit of God who dwells in us to make us more like Jesus. There's a wonderful passage in 1st or 2nd Timothy. Paul is training Timothy to be a pastor, and he says, think about these things, and the Lord will give you understanding. It's a great passage. It's like Paul has confidence that the Spirit is working in Timothy. And so he think about the word. God will explain it to you. God will open up your mind. We can be confident of that. God's at work in you to grow you and change you. You have been set free to love. I remember where we started back in verse 7. Paul says, you are running well. He compares the Christian life to a race. Okay? The Christian life is like it's like running a race. Okay? You could also compare it to running water or a running river. I don't think that's the image Paul's using. Paul's using the image of running a race, but I think you can also compare it to a running river. If you picture water that's been dammed up, and then finally someone opens up the dam and the water is allowed to run free. In a sense, that's a picture of the Christian life. You've been set free like a running river. The reason I say that is because bad habits, sinful ideas, and wrong thinking are like debris that clog up the riverbed. Bad habits, sinful ideas, and wrong thinking are like debris that keep the water from flowing freely. They are like debris that impede the Christian race. Look what Paul says. If I, brothers, still preach circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would emasculate themselves. I'm going to spare you the details what it means to be emasculated. But remember, we're talking about circumcision. The Gentile Christians were thinking maybe they need to get circumcised. Circumcision was a procedure by which a Jewish male had a small piece of flesh removed. Emasculation was a step further. Emasculation was having a lot more removed. Okay, it was like castration. When a man was emasculated, he could no longer have children. And so Paul is kind of being clever here. Maybe it's a play on words. He's saying, those guys who are saying you got to be circumcised in order to be approved by God, he says, I wish they would go all the way and be emasculated. I think he's saying, I wish they could no longer spread their influence. A man who's emasculated, he can't have children. I think what he's saying is, I wish these false teachers could no longer have followers, no longer spread their influence, because misdiagnosis can throw you off track. You know, you go to the doctor misdiagnoses you, he's going to go off on all kind of rabbit trails that are not going to help you. He's going to pursue all kind of treatment that's not going to help you. What's happened here? The Galatian Christians have misdiagnosed themselves. They were not rebellious. From what we understand, they weren't rebellious. They were trying to grow. They were trying to make progress. They wanted to get better. But they've misdiagnosed their situation and convinced themselves that their problem is they're not Jewish. That's my problem. I'm not following the Jewish tradition. I need to get circumcised. And that was a misdiagnosis that had led them off track into something that wasn't going to help them. The human heart is wily. Okay, you remember Wile E. Coyote? Was always coming up with these elaborate schemes to catch the roadrunner. They never worked, but he was always coming up with these crazy plans to catch the roadrunner. The human heart is like that. The human heart is always coming up with elaborate plans to either feel better about itself or make itself better its own way. The human heart, left to itself, is always coming up with substitute solutions and substitute saviors. Okay. If the human heart has a motto, it would be anything but Jesus. That's the human heart, left to yourself. Anything but Jesus. The last thing the human heart wants to do is to say, you know what, I'm sinful and I need a savior. And so it's like Wile E. Coyote. It's always coming up with these crazy, elaborate other plans for substitute solutions and substitute saviors. And it does that by always misdiagnosing the problem. You know, my problem is I'm misunderstood. I have a bad upbringing. You know, it's my genetic material. It's not my fault. The human heart is always going to do that. Misdiagnosing its own problems and getting itself off track. That's why it is so essential that you go to Jesus and you say, Jesus, please show me where I need to change. You know, because I'm blind and I've got blind spots. You know, it's like there's certain times you can't see somebody because they're in a blind spot. I've got blind spots. And there's things I don't see about myself. And you got to go to Jesus and you got to mean business. And then you got to listen to him and ask him to show you. Because too often we misdiagnose our problems. And we waste a lot of time working on something that isn't the real problem. I know that you know people who have obvious behavior issues, and they don't know it. Everybody else knows it, anybody else, and yet they don't know it because they don't see it. And if you ask them about their problems in life, they tell you something totally different. They've misdiagnosed themselves, and they are wasting their life working on the wrong things. You got to ask Jesus to open your eyes and show you the areas where you need to change. Now, the Ten Commandments lead us to the twists and turns of life. Ten Commandments teach us the loving thing to do in different situations. Have you ever been in a situation where you thought, I love my kids, but I just don't know what to do? I don't know what the loving thing to do in this situation is. Well, that's what the Ten Commandments are. The Ten Commandments tell us what love is supposed to look like. They teach us how to love the Lord and to love one another. The Ten Commandments lead us through the twists and turns of life. They teach us the loving thing to do in different situations. Okay. Paul says, you were called to freedom, brothers. We talked about that last week. If Jesus is the basis of your relationship with God, you've been set free from man-made rules. Okay? Rules that other people slap on you, rules and traditions we put upon ourselves. If Jesus is the basis of your relationship with God, you're free from that. You're also free from Old Testament ceremonies, sacrifices that held so many Jewish people back, and you're free from guilt. You're free from beating yourself up. You're free from sin, okay? If Jesus is the basis of your relationship with God, you've been set free. But he says, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Jesus hasn't set you free so you can just do whatever you want. He doesn't set you free so you can be arrogant and obnoxious. He has set you free to run in the path of his commandments. Okay, imagine a guy's running in the Boston Marathon and he takes a wrong turn. That's not freedom. The guy's lost. Okay, freedom is running along the track. Freedom is seeing the finish line ahead of you. Freedom is running unimpeded. That's what God has set you free for. He set you free to serve one another in love. Paul says, don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. In other words, he sets you free from your baggage and your past and your issues so that it isn't about me. It's about thinking about what's better for the other person. You know, God sets you free to help each other and serve one another in love. A river that's dammed up, that river isn't free. A river that overflows its banks and causes flooding and bogs and swamps and goes in people's basements, that's not free. A river is free when it's able to run its course, when it's able to go down the riverbank. That's freedom. Okay? The Ten Commandments lay out for us the course of love. To be free is to be able to live that life of love. To be free from your garbage and your egos and your pride and your insecurity and free to become that person God has always intended you to be. That's freedom. Christ saves us in our sin to save us from our sin. Okay? Jesus comes to you when you're obnoxious, or when you're irritable, or where you're unbearable, or where you're anxious, or whatever it is that our issues are. But he doesn't do that so that you can continue to be obnoxious. He does it so that you can stop being obnoxious. He saves us in our sin so that he can save us from our sin. That is, so that we can be set free from that, so you can become the person God has always intended you to be. Look how Paul ends our passage. If you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. The image seems to be that sometimes we try to, you know, we tear each other apart. We talk about people behind their back. We gossip and everything. And we try to make ourselves feel better by telling ourselves other people aren't as good as us. You know, you get a kind of thrill when you hear that someone else has messed up, because it makes you feel better about yourself. Paul says, if that's what you're doing, and you're feeding off of other people, be careful that other people don't feed off you. People are going to treat you the same way. And it doesn't really make you better. And that's not the kind of person God's called you to be, you know, feeding off of other people's, delighting in their failure. That's not the kind of person God wants you to be. Love builds each other up. Love forgets yourself and just helps and builds up other people. But here's the thing. The more loving you are, the more you build others up, and the more you're being built up. Paul says, if you're tearing other people down, watch out, because he's just going to tear you down. That's not the kind of person God wants you to be. But if you forget yourself and you begin building other people up, not only are you building other people up, in a sense, you're building yourself up in the right way. You know, other people may not even appreciate it. They don't recognize what you do. They never say thank you. But you know what? The more you're serving in love, you're becoming a better person. You're growing. When you try to just build yourself up, it makes you worse. But when you forget yourself and you live to serve, it makes you stronger. It makes you a better person. Okay. The gospel is a transformation machine. It's all about growth. It's all about change. But Jesus is the engine of the transformation machine. Jesus is the one who grows you. Jesus is the one who changes you. So the way to keep the transformation going is to keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, Paul said a little leaven leavens the lump. And he means there that when we got wrong ideas in our head, it begins to influence our behavior. But Jesus used that same image in a positive way. We read it this morning in the call to worship. He said the gospel of the kingdom is like a little bit of yeast, a little bit of leaven. And you put that in the dough and it spreads. And I think what he means there is, when you first come to Jesus, you don't have any idea what all the ramifications are. You just come to Jesus because you need relief. You need forgiveness. You need salvation. And that little idea in there begins in you, and it begins to grow and it begins to spread. And it takes a while, but after a while, it begins to grow in you, and the more and more you begin to recognize things in your life that aren't, you know, I've been believing something that's not true. I've been harboring something against somebody. I need to let go of that. The gospel grows within you. It spreads. That's where our confidence comes from. The Holy Spirit is in you, and so that gospel truth is in you. It's going to grow. You can't just keep it in a corner. It's going to grow. You may start out thinking that this is just something for Sundays, but if you really believe it, it's going to begin to influence the way you think about Monday. Okay, it's going to begin to influence the way you act on Friday nights. It does that. The gospel grows you, and it's all about Jesus. Okay, Jesus is the one who grows you. He's the one who changes you. We've said it before. God can do more in you, for you, and through you than you can ever possibly do in yourself. God can change you more than you can ever possibly change yourself. He can do more for you, through you, in you, and to you than you can ever possibly change yourself. So the real key to transformation is not yourself and your efforts. It's Jesus. And what you want to keep doing is just keep looking at Jesus. Keep trusting Jesus. Keep talking to Jesus. Keep relying on Jesus. And he's the one who's going to grow you. He's the one who's going to change you. It's faith working through love. Okay, that's the way our passage last week ended. Last week, Paul said, it's not circumcision or uncircumcision. It's faith working through love. The more you trust Jesus, he pours out his love on you, and he renews you, he empowers you, he changes and enables you to love. Okay? Jesus sets you free to love. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we all need to change. We have those areas that perhaps we're not even aware of. We all have those areas perhaps that we're keenly aware of. We all have those rough edges. We all have those deep fears, angers, frustration. We all have things about us, Lord, that need to change. And we pray that you would change us, that you would do that work of transformation, that you would begin that new work in those who do not yet know you, and that you would further that work in those who've come to know you and trust you. Lord, we pray for that. We can't fix ourselves. But the good news of the gospel is that you can, and you will, and you do. And so we pray, Lord, that you would further that growth and that change in our lives, make us more and more and more like Jesus. Lord, we pray for this. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This is Pastor Claude Taylor. I'm glad you just heard the broadcast of the weekly Sunday morning worship service of New Hope Presbyterian Church. New Hope Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-based church ministry where everyone is welcome. I invite you to join us in person for worship each Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages. The church is located at the corner of Hitchener Avenue and Osborne Lane, in the neighborhood across from Bridgeton High School. If you need more information or wish to speak to me personally, please call 856-451-7644. That's 856-451-7644. This broadcast is a production of New Hope Presbyterian Church, a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian family of churches.